Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen. You may be seated. This morning I would like for us to focus on verse 24. After Jesus gives this explanation to his disciples about what he's going to experience, we see this phrase, "Then Jesus told his disciples." We need to look at the word "then." How often do we look at the word "then"? So we need to look at that word. No problem. Thank you, sir. We need to look at the word "then." The word "then" means that everything Jesus has said prior to this has significance in what he's doing now. "I've told you who I am. You've confessed me of who I really am. I've told you what's going to happen to me. Now I want to tell you what you must be to be a follower of mine." Then we see Jesus told his disciples. Now we need to look at the word "disciple." A disciple is one who follows an individual and that person's teaching. When you put it in the context of the New Testament, that word is defined as follows. It is someone who is spiritually committed to Jesus and intellectually committed to his word. So when you become a follower of Christ, first of all, you're committed to him spiritually. We give our souls to him, our spiritual life we give to him. And we do that because of his love for us. And he's demonstrated that love by dying for your sin and mine. And then he shows us that love every day of our lives by taking care of us and watching over us. So we're spiritually committed. We're also intellectually committed to him and his teachings, which means we believe that the scriptures and the original autographs are the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of God. Inspired means from the mouth of God. It actually means exhale. And since we believe that, in order to be a follower of Christ, we must know what that word says and what God requires of us in our lives. So then Jesus told his disciples, now look at the next phrase, "If anyone would come after me," let's look at that. If, it's conditional. Are you and I coming after Christ? Now what does that mean, to come after Christ? If anyone would, now we need to look at that word, would. Do you ever define would? Would you do this? Would you do that? What do you mean by that? That word in the Greek actually means the desire of the heart. If anyone would have in the desire of their heart. Now, if anyone would come after me. The word "come" The word come, as you know, means to come. But it's a little bit different meaning. It means to be focused. It means to be coming with a purpose and to be focused on where you're going. You know what's scary is people driving while texting. Oh, they're coming, but they don't know where they're going. Sometimes into your rear end and mine then. But do you know, as a follower of Christ, are you and I focused on Him? Are we intellectually and spiritually committed to Him? But are we focused on Him? That's the word come. After. The word after gives a connotation of a very close relationship. Not just a mediocre, not just an acquaintance, not just kind of close, but intimate. Where we know Him really well, and He knows us better than we could ever know Him, because He's infinite and we're finite. But the emphasis is on that relationship. If anyone would come after me, brothers and sisters, that pronoun is so important. Not after doctrine, not after theology, not after church, not after a denomination, but me, personally, Christ. You should never be committed to a denomination, because a denomination is going to change because it's run by human beings. You must be committed to Christ. And when the denomination moves away from Christ, where do you go? When we came out of the PCUS, before they merged with the Northern Presbyterian Church, I had to meet with a committee of pastors, and they were grilling me on why I wanted to leave the denomination. And one, the chairman of the committee said, "How can you leave your mother church?" Well, that didn't go over well with me at all, because I got one mother. And he said, "How can you do this?" And I said, "Well, you know, when my mother leaves the Word of God and won't receive the instruction from the Word of God, then I leave my mother." They said, "You're dismissed." That's what you and I must do. Be committed to Christ and His Word and what He says. And you all, you're there. You're committed to Christ. You're committed to the Word because you want to be taught, and you're here every Lord's Day to be instructed. Just don't lose it. Do not lose it. If anyone would come after me. Now, let me give you a little grammar lesson here. The verb to come in the Greek is at the end of the sentence. It doesn't make sense in English, but it does in Greek. And the emphasis is on the verb to come, because it means you and I are focused on Christ. Remember, the verb to come means to come with a purpose, to be focused. And you and I are focused on Christ. Now, let's look at the word anyone. I kind of skipped over that one. The word anyone is singular, not plural. And the significance of that, it means every individual in and of themselves and on their own responsibility must make that decision to follow Christ or not to follow Christ. And then once you and I have been brought into the kingdom through the sovereign choice of God and the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to reveal us of our sin and to bring conviction, then you and I must decide, well, how closely am I going to follow Him? How closely am I going to follow Him? And you and I deal with that every day in the choices we make. So, then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after me, Now he gives three specific things that the person must be and do to follow him in a very close relationship. The first one is deny himself. Deny himself. Do we do that? Do we deny ourselves? That means all our desires and all of our wants come down here. Christ is first. When we say we put Christ first, that's what that means. Not under what we want, but we always go to the Lord with our need. We should always pray. Seek the Lord for our need. But am I willing to say, no, I don't need that. I'm not going to do that. I shouldn't be desiring that. And let the Lord provide and direct us in our lives. Deny myself. Am I denying myself? Galatians 2:20. Turn to Galatians 2:20. This is a good definition of denying self. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still living. But the life which I now live in the flesh, how do I live it? By faith in Christ. I seek him. Lord, what do you want me to be? What kind of a person do you want me to be? What do you want me to do with my life that you've given to me? And will I submit to Jesus Christ when I believe in my heart he's leading me in a direction that I'm not really excited about? I'm not really excited about it. And yet I know the Lord's leading me in that direction. What am I going to do? As a believer, if I deny self, I follow him. But there are times when we do not do that. When we want what we want to do what we want to do in that situation, and the Lord is saying no, no, no. And you say, I'm going to do it anyway. And that's where we end up in a mess. So the first thing is deny self. The second thing is to take up his cross. To take up his cross. Now we need to look at the word his. To whom does his refer to? Well, it cannot refer to the cross of Christ, because only Christ could atone for your sin and mine. You and I can't die for somebody else's sin. We can't even die for our own. So it doesn't refer to the cross that Christ died on. It refers to the cross that you and I are supposed to take up and carry with us every day. And the word to take up means to take up and to carry. And that cross that you and I are to take up is specifically made for you and you alone, and me alone. I can't carry your cross. You can't carry mine. You can only carry your own cross. Because when you and I carry our own crosses, we have the grace, the love, the power, the wisdom, the knowledge of God to help us carry that cross. And that cross sometimes gets real heavy. It hurts. And there are sometimes we don't want that cross. Because the burden is so oppressive and it weighs us down. But that's the one Christ has given to us. Because in that carrying of the cross, when it gets like that, that's when we realize even greater our need for Christ. And Christ uses that to refocus us on Him. We've all been there, or we're there right now. Some of us are carrying crosses that we just don't want, and it's about to kill us. It's hard. But yet Jesus says, take up His cross. I have to take my cross that the Lord has given to me and walk with Him carrying it. And He's not going to desert you. That's the critical thing for you and me to remember. Jesus, before He ascended into heaven in Matthew 28, what did He say? I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. In John 14, I will send another Comforter, another Helper, who will be with you and will be among you and will live in you. That is the Holy Spirit. You and I are never alone in bearing this cross that God has ordained for you and me to carry. And that's what we must understand. Don't turn against Christ. So many people leave churches, won't have anything to do with Christ, because of the way their life is going. They're fighting against the true and living God that saved them. Don't do that. Just because your life is not peaches and cream right now, don't go away from God. Go to Him. Run to Him. He's there for you. You know it. You've experienced it. Always run to Him, not away from Him. Deny himself. Take up his cross. And follow me. Follow me. Am I following Christ? Are you following Christ? The word follow there, like the word after, means to follow in a very close relationship. You see in Scripture, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, the fine and consistent thread that runs all the way through Scripture is a covenant relationship between God and His people. And God desires that that relationship be very close and very strong, very intimate. So you got two words in that one verse that emphasizes the close relationship. After me and follow me. And both of them cause us to focus not on the people around us, but to focus on Christ. We sang this morning, in Christ alone. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? Am I in this world and I'm so distracted by the things of this world and the life that I'm living that I give mediocre attention to my Savior? Am I denying myself? Am I taking up my cross? And am I following Jesus? Only you can answer those questions. And you know in your heart, some days we follow Him more than others, better than others. But we must always keep in mind Christ and following Him. I put Christ first in every relationship I have? Do I put Christ first in my career? To whom am I really committed? That's the bottom line. And how do I know I'm committed that strongly with these three? Those three. Denying self, take my cross, and follow. That's what we need to do. That's what Christ says. If you're going to follow me, this is how you do it. And then ask Him for His wisdom and His grace and His mercy to help do that. Because in and of ourselves, we might do okay every now and then, but the bottom line, we're going to get distracted. And we're going to subtly be drawn away into this world. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, I leave this with you. The Lord has spoken to your heart. You know your heart before the Lord. And you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit has taught you this morning. And where it needs to be adjusted, let the Holy Spirit adjust it. Where you're strong, give thanks to the Lord for it. He's made you strong. And He will be honored, and you will be blessed. But you have to start with Christ. That's the first step. When Jesus turned to His disciples and said, "But who do you say that I am?" I would ask you today, who do you say Jesus is? Do you know Him as your Savior? If you don't, I want to meet you right after this worship. I want to talk to you, show you how you can come to know Christ, and then how you can follow Him. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we love You because You love us. And You've revealed Yourself to us in Christ, revealing Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. And I thank You for that. And Father, I pray that as we think on these words of Yours in the Gospel of Matthew, if there's anyone here who does not know You, oh, how I pray that You would bring him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That I would have the opportunity to speak to them at the close of this worship time, to show them from Your Word they too can be a follower of Yours. So, Father, move in our hearts by Your Spirit. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be," sing it with commitment. Shall we stand as we sing? Remember the instructions given to us. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.